Okay, here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to lead into prayer circle time, and actually it's not prayer circle time, it's ministry time. Say that with me, ministry time. How many of you know that we do ministry time every time we meet together as a church? Okay, we don't always pray in circles every time we meet together, but the Lord has an opportunity to minister to our needs every time we come together. It looks differently sometimes. Sometimes it happens in a prayer team in the back. Sometimes it happens when we get into small circles of prayer. Sometimes it happens in the middle of worship or after worship. But we always minister to another, and often in our church we pray with one another in small circles. Now, if you're a visitor here today, or if you're even if you don't know the Lord, I don't want that to scare you off. Nobody's going to make you pray. Okay, and some of you, you don't need to do it out loud, but you're thinking inside of your heart, wow, good, okay. I don't know how to pray. I want you to pray. I want you to learn how to pray, but nobody's going to force you to pray. And if you're a visitor and we have a time where we come together in small circles of prayers, I know that sometimes you would feel like, boy, I don't know that I'm up for that. In fact, right now I may have just scared you by saying that. So I'm going to have everybody bow your heads and close your eyes so they can get up and leave. No, I'm just kidding. Stay. I believe God has something for you. I really do. Because here's the deal. We don't just pray together to be nice to each other. We don't just pray together because it's a nice Christian thing to do. We pray together because we believe that every person that loves Jesus and has given him their heart is called to release ministry to other people. You are called to be a minister. Did you know that? If you know Jesus, if you've given him your heart, you're called to do ministry. And it's one of the things that we celebrate on this 500-year anniversary of the reality of the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther, the monk, when I was a youth pastor, it was the first year of ministry, and I got up on Reformation Sunday, and I gave a whole sermon about how Martin Luther King nailed the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg door. And I realized at the end that I got these two really important reformers mixed up. Martin Luther, the monk and the theologian, he was realizing from Scripture that there were things that the church, after 1,500 years, had really gotten messed up and twisted. And he said, and he didn't want to start a brand new movement. He wanted to reform what was going on and say, hey, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. One of the major complaints that he had was they had gotten to a practice of selling indulgences. Was, if you don't know what that is, you could pay ahead of time. If you knew you were going to sin, you could pay ahead of time and then you would be forgiven of your sin in advance. Now, I'm pretty sure that if we did that here, our offerings would go up. But I also know that it would be incredibly not biblical. That's not how it works. And so there was this really well-meaning, loving, and gracious, but really loving God monk who wanted to see change happen. And so the Reformation started, and I don't have time to get into all of it, but really part of the point of there were a few things about the church at the time that had really lost its way. And one of the things it had lost its way in was this issue of there was a permanent priesthood. And this permanent priesthood were the professionals that were set apart, and everybody else was just kind of normal people, and they weren't expected to, required to, or even thought of as people that could do ministry. The priests were the ones that represented you to God and God to you. You came to the priest to get that. But the Bible says something different than that. And I read it earlier, if you were here early in worship. It's in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but you, and I want you to turn to somebody now, and I know it's not rude, it's rude to point, but go ahead and point at them. Say, but you, you, I'm gonna read this out loud to my good friend Joy here, okay. You, and I want you to hear this, though. I'm not just reading it to her, I'm reading it to all of you, but I want you to hear it as if I was reading it to you individually. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Right? By the way, this is you personally, but really it's you corporately because it's plural. You. But if it can be you, but if you don't get it in your own heart that it's also you, then you miss the whole point. Your special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Okay, did we declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his wonderful light this morning? Okay, but let's not miss this part. You are a royal priesthood. Say that with me. You are a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood. So here's the point. The Bible says that we're all royal priests. We're called to represent light, the light of God in dark places. In broken situations, we're called to represent the wholeness of God. That we're called to come and be ministers of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Ambassadors of the message of reconciliation. And so Martin Luther said, wait a minute, this is supposed to be for everybody. But 500 years later, did you know that it really didn't stick? Because in churches today, I'm not talking about our Catholic brothers and sisters, I'm talking about our churches today, we still get it wrong. And now there's not stained glass and there's not the incense and all of that and the priestly robes, but now we have the pastors on the platform and everybody else comes and goes, I'm going to see the pastor do the ministry. You guys, that's absolutely backwards. We are all together. Amen. A royal priesthood. I think I'm going to sit in the front row with you, okay? And we are all a royal priesthood together. This is not about me up there. This is about us together expressing the ministry that God calls us to express. Amen? Amen? And I'm going to move because I think I was making that young man uncomfortable right there. That's really important. That's really important. Because if you're a believer, you know that there are dark situations and hurting people that need the power of God to be changed. You know that, right? You know that in your life there are dark situations and broken issues that need to be changed. They need the power of God. They need the presence of God. They need the reality of God's life in them. Things need to change because they're bad off. They're broken. They're dark. But do any of you ever look at a dark, broken, bad off situation and you know that there needs to be a battle, you know there needs to be a change, but you just don't want to engage it. You think to yourself, I wish I was anywhere but here. I don't want to see that brokenness. I don't want to see that mess. And I'm telling you, it's, by the way, it's okay. It's biblical. And it's okay to not want to be in the mess because a verse I'm about to tell you, it's just not biblical to tell God, I'm not going to do anything about this mess. David's one of the greatest men in the Bible, right? In Psalm 55, he says, Lord, if only I had the wings of a dove, then I could fly away and you can get me out of this mess, right? Anybody ever felt that? Yeah. About a mess that you saw? Maybe you've never read that verse, but maybe you heard another famous theologian who wrote, take these broken wings and learn to fly again. Learn to live so free. You just want to get out of where you are. Or maybe if you don't know the reference to the song I just mentioned, you're a little bit older, you'll know this one. Calgon, take me away. Take me away. I don't want to deal with this right now. And I totally understand, and I believe God totally understands that inclination. But I want to tell you something this morning. And this is, by the way, all in service to what we're about to do, which is pray with each other. I had a whole sermon today planned and prepared. I was going to talk to you about the kingdom of God. How many of you know that one Sunday is not nearly enough to talk to anybody about the kingdom of God? And so I was studying and I had all this stuff and I had it all lined out and just felt like the Lord said, you're supposed to do a series on the kingdom of God next year. This year, this day, today, we're going to pray for each other, but I want you to explain to the church. This is what I'm sensing. It was sensing in my spirit. I didn't hear words. I sensed this in my spirit. To explain to the church the rationale by which we come to pray for each other. Because it's not just that we're trying to be nice to each other. We're trying to, you know, kind of shoot a prayer up to heaven and make the other person feel good and hope that God listens. There's something powerful going on. God doesn't just take us away from the situation that we're in. It's true that he saved us from sin and brokenness. And would anybody say you're really happy about that? God saved us from sin and destruction and death and bondage. On the cross, he broke into the place where the enemy had dominion, and he died on the cross, taking the keys of hell, taking over sin and death and saying, I got power over sin and death, and I'm proving it by dying on the cross right now. And he saved us by his blood on the cross and by his resurrection. We walk in resurrection life. And then he puts his Holy Spirit in us, giving us a deposit for the things to come, which is heaven. So we celebrate the fact that we're saved from sin and bondage and we're saved to go to heaven. How many of you say amen? Amen. Amen. Okay. Let's say it again. Let's say it even louder. Amen. We're saved from sin and bondage and death, and we're saved to go to heaven. But in the in-between, there's something else. We're saved for something. We're saved for something because a lot of times we think that, okay, I've been saved from my mess and my sin, and I'm still kind of working my way out of that, but I know someday I'm going to go to heaven, and so I'm just going to sit around and twiddle my thumbs and do life and just hope that heaven comes soon. I'm going to kind of hold my nose and work through the darkness and work through the mud and mire, and someday I'm going to die or Jesus is going to come back and I'm going to be in heaven and he's going to be in charge and that's going to be great, right? We can celebrate that, but I'm telling you, there's something in the in-between that God has called us to, a purpose that he's called us to, because Jesus has more in mind for us than just squeaking through life. Can I say that again? Jesus has more in mind for you and me than just squeaking through life. He has a purpose for us. He has a holy purpose for saving us. Yes, he's getting us to heaven. Yes, heaven will be a place where God's in charge of everything. There's no more tears. There's no more crying. There's no more dying. There's no more darkness. There's only light. There's only wholeness in heaven. How many say hallelujah? Okay, that is a great reality, but in the in-between time, we live in the upside down. We live in a place that's totally twisted and that isn't yet completely submitted and surrendered to God's reality, to his rule and to his reign. Jesus didn't just save us to wait around and squeak through life and get to heaven. He saved us for a purpose, and that is to be part of his redemption in this world, to actually bring the healing to the brokenness of the world, to bring light to the darkness of the world, to bring wholeness to the mess of the world, to bring life to the death of the world. He said, that's why I died on the cross for you, yes, so that you can get to heaven, but also so that you can live out heaven's reality right here on earth. You have a purpose in this life. It's both in our own lives that he wants to fix the broken and bring light to the darkness, but it's also in people's lives around us. Because you know that there are messy areas in your own life, but you also know there are broken things all around you that you see in your workplaces and in your families and in your relationships and in your neighborhoods and in your cities. And you run into broken situations and you think, what am I supposed to do about that? And a whole lot of believers have no idea about this purpose of expressing and living out the rule and reign of God in and through their lives. They often try to, believers even, often try to find our ultimate purpose in our families, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our pleasure, in our bank accounts. We try to find, we know heaven's coming someday, but while we're here, we don't know what else to do. So we just try to find our purpose in kind of, hey, what else is going around us? And we don't understand the whole time that God says, that's not your purpose. Your purpose is to live out my rule and reign in those things. In your families, in your neighborhoods, in the brokenness of your own life and other people's life, in your jobs, in your finances, in your pleasure, in anything, that you're living out the reality that God's in charge of your life. And when God's in charge of your life, we align to his purposes and his will for us. We recognize that. But even the believers who understand this purpose, it's the kingdom of God, the realm of his rule and reign in our life that we're going to be talking about more at length early next year. But even if believers have an idea of this purpose to express God's rule and reign, we often don't know how to get the power to live the supernatural kingdom out. And that's what we've been talking about this whole time, these last, I don't know, it's been 6 or 7 or 8 weeks. The life of the Holy Spirit is not just to give you a spiritual shot in the arm and give you and I spiritual goosebumps. We're not just looking for Holy Ghost goosebumps and go, ooh, that was so cool. The reason that we're filled with the Holy Spirit is so that we can express God's rule and reign in our broken world that needs to be made whole. Can I say that again? Because it's true. The reason we're filled with the Spirit, that we're encountered with the power of the Spirit, is so that. Say those two words with me. So that. It's not just to make you feel good. It's so that we can be a conduit and agents of the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, his authority and his power into a world that is so messed up, that is so bleak and dark, that's full of the presence of evil and the presence of sin and the presence of brokenness. And God says, I've made you a royal priesthood so that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Hallelujah. That's good news to me. If you have a Bible, open to Luke 4. And I realized last service as I was setting up prayer circles, because you realize that's what I'm still doing, right? I'm not actually preaching a sermon. I'm setting up how we're going to pray together, and then I realized that I wasn't going to preach a sermon, and then I started setting these things up, and then about halfway through, I realized, oh, I'm preaching a sermon. So welcome to my non-sermon that I'm preaching today, and you can go later, you can say, hey, Pastor Tim, remember when you preached that sermon that wasn't a sermon, but really it was a sermon, and I'll know what you're talking about. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit because we want to encounter the power of the Spirit so that we can minister wholeness to others, so that we can introduce others to what the rule and reign of God looks like, the kingdom of God looks like, so that we can introduce others to light instead of darkness, to wholeness instead of brokenness, to life instead of death, and then we can embrace that ourselves. What does the kingdom of God look like? What does this look like? The King of the universe came to earth as a human being. Remember, we talked in the last few weeks about the fact that he was in nature God. He was all the way God, sinless. His character was perfectly God. But in Philippians 2, it says he laid aside all of the power and prerogative, the privilege of the power of God. And then on earth, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And everything that he did on earth that was miraculous or supernatural came through the power of the Holy Spirit. This King of the universe, who every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess that he is Lord of all, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is King. The King shows up, and when he starts to inaugurate the reality of his kingdom, from this moment on, what we're going to read, from this moment on, he would go around and say over and over and over again, the kingdom of God is right here. The kingdom of God is right behind you. It's right in front of you. It's right around you. Understand what the kingdom is, and this is in the sermon that I'll preach later next year and the non-sermon that I'm preaching now, but the kingdom of God is not heaven. It's not someday out there when you die or when Jesus comes back. Finally, it'll be the kingdom of God. No, the kingdom of God is God's rule and reign right here. Well, we will allow him to rule and reign in our lives, through our lives, where we go. So the King of the universe shows up as a human being. He gets baptized with the Spirit. He's ready to begin his ministry. And he says, now I'm going to announce to you what the King does and what the kingdom looks like. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Say that with me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's what Jesus said, but did you know that you're supposed to say that too? He didn't just say that, hey, the Spirit of the Lord's on me and I'm the King, and you guys just watch what the King does and think that's great and worship me. Yes, we worship him, and yes, we watch what he does. But later on, he would say, you're going to receive this same Holy Spirit power for the very same reasons that I received it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do these things, but now as I call you to be agents of the kingdom of God, you're gonna do that because the Spirit of the Lord is gonna be upon you, and you're gonna proclaim recovery of sight to the blind, and you're gonna proclaim freedom from the prisoners, and you're gonna let people out of captivity, and you're gonna see dead people raised, and you're going to see people that are bound be free, and you're gonna see light piercing the darkness. That's what the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, is supposed to look like. What Jesus declared here wasn't just for him, but it was for us. And between being saved and going to heaven, we're called to be empowered, authorized ambassadors of the King who will come back to reign over all. Don't mistake this, folks. Jesus, the King, is going to come back. And when he comes back, he's going to reign over all of it. Anybody excited about that? That's good. And we don't mitigate that by talking about the kingdom of God that's happening now in our lives and through our lives. We don't mitigate the fact that it ain't all going to be wrapped up until Jesus comes back. But right now, I get to do exactly what Jesus did, and I get to express the kingdom one-on-one. And I get to get into people's lives, and I get to speak into broken situations, and I get to bring the authority and the ability and the power to the fact that there are broken things that need to be made whole. For now, before the King comes back and sets everything right, the King is breaking through a world dominated by sin and death because he displayed the power over sin and death when he died on the cross. and he broke through. Okay, I shouldn't get into this. This is for the sermon that's coming later, okay? But I have to explain this to you or else we're not going to get it. When humans were created, Adam and Eve were created, they were given dominion over the earth. And God said, hey, I'm going to create you for partnership, and you're going to walk. The king says, you're going to have dominion over the earth, and we're going to walk in partnership over this whole thing. The whole creation and the explosion and the multiplication of what would happen on the earth was to be under the authority of God, but also with the dominion that man was given. And when mankind sinned, he handed the dominion and the authority and the oversight over to Satan, over to the enemy. And so the enemy now has the world in its grip. Sin entered in, and that's why all the brokenness happens. That's why your marriages aren't staying together. That's why your kids are rebelling. That's why people are addicted to drugs. That's why death happens. All of those things that happen because humans handed over the dominion that they were supposed to partner with God in to the enemy, and the enemy brought brokenness and darkness and destruction to the earth. So Jesus the King breaks through into that realm to be with us, dies on a cross, conquering sin and death, and then raises again, and then gives us his Holy Spirit so that we can start expressing the rule and reign of this King in the middle of a dominion of darkness. We could be the light that shines through. That's what we're doing. And so God calls us to this, and I'm glad I said that. That was important. Okay. We declare and we demonstrate what the rule of Jesus Christ looks like so that we can live under it and so that other people can live under it. Because in a world that's still dominated by darkness and brokenness, we get to declare healing and wholeness and light. 2 Corinthians 5 says we are the ambassadors of the King, that we're fully authorized ambassadors of King Jesus to declare the message of reconciliation, getting people back together with God, and the ministry of the gospel. The good news of the rule and reign of Jesus Christ. And that's what we declare every time we stop to minister to somebody else. We're stepping into the authority that we're given to speak into areas that aren't lined up with the rule of God. We get to speak, we get to stop and pray with somebody and say, is there something wrong? Is there something broken? Is there something that's a mess? I get to bring you before the King. And even more than that, I get to speak empowered life, kingdom life into that broken situation because I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. If you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, you've been given the authority to walk in the kingdom. If you've been empowered with the Holy Spirit's supernatural power, you're given the ability and the power to encounter brokenness and bring wholeness to it. So when we pray together, when we join into small circles with each other, we're not just, like I said before, we're not just throwing up nice words to God so that people can feel comfortable and we hope that somewhere it lands in heaven and an angel finds it and picks it up and says, hey God, look at this nice prayer that was prayed. Maybe we should answer this one. We're coming to God the King, directly to Him, and we're declaring the rule and reign of God to come in and encounter the broken area that we encounter. When somebody prays for you, they're praying life and wholeness and light into dead and broken and dark situations. And that's what we're going to do here this morning. And by the way, it's not just for this morning, it's for anybody, anywhere. One of the reasons we do that in this room often is because we want every believer, every person that knows Jesus, to learn how to be equipped, empowered, released, activated to do ministry in the authority of the King and the power of the Spirit out there. Because how many of you know, if you don't do it in here, if you can't pray for a brother or sister or somebody sitting next to you and bring them into alignment, their situation into alignment with what the King wants, how are you ever going to do it when you run into people who are broken, who have no idea about God? I think this is a great place, not for reality, because we really pray and really good things happen, but how many of you know this is a really great place to practice what we should be doing the rest of the time, right? And you may be here and go, well, I don't know, I'm new, I don't know, I don't even know Jesus. I've never prayed before. Listen, nobody's going to make you pray. Nobody's going to make you pray, but can I suggest this, that we're here as a church because we believe the Spirit of God's here, the power of God's here, and if you've got something broken in your life, that you could share it with somebody and they're going to bring it to the Lord and they're going to bring it to bear under the authority and alignment with the rule and reign of God, and that whatever's broken in your life might actually, could actually, should actually change and become whole because of the presence of God here. So that's what we're doing when we come together to pray. But before we do that, I want you to bow your heads.